2 Peter chapter 3 today on Through the Word. Peter's time on earth is running short. He's soon going to be heading to a cross. And what does he want his readers to know with his last letter to them? Verse 2. I want you to recall the words spoken in the past by the holy prophets and the command given by our Lord and Savior through your apostles. Now, not surprisingly, Peter doesn't throw in some new teaching or doctrine to mix things up at the last minute. Instead, Peter reminds his reader to remember the words of the prophets, that's Old Testament, and the apostles, that's New Testament. In other words, Peter wants us to remember the Bible. And by putting the teaching of the apostles on the same level as the prophets of the Old Testament, Peter claimed for himself and his fellow apostles the same authority and inspiration. Peter understood that Jesus gave his disciples the authority to bring forth the message of God's new covenant, which is why we treat the Old Testament and New Testament with equal authority. Verse 3. Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following their own evil desires. They will say, "Where is this coming he promised? Ever since our ancestors died, everything goes on as it has since the beginning of creation." Christians, we should not be surprised when we are mocked and scoffed at for our faith. Peter warns us that this is to be expected, particularly in the last days. In a roundabout way, when someone scoffs at our faith, we can be encouraged that it is actually proving the scriptures to be true. However, that should not be used as an excuse for bad behavior. There's a difference between being mocked for your faith and being called out for arrogance, judgmentalism, or just plain weirdness. Mockery should be ignored, but genuine correction should be received with humility. As for the scoffers, it's important to remember that they not only have philosophical and intellectual problems with the Bible, but they also have a moral problem. These scoffers, says Peter, are following their own evil desires. Part of the reason they attack and mock believers is that they want to continue in their sinful ways and don't want God telling them that they're wrong. In verse 4, their argument is that Jesus has not returned, even though it has been, now, 2,000 years. They say, if he were really coming back, would he not have already done so? But no, humanity keeps progressing onward, and God hasn't done anything to change that. There's no judgments, there's no return, there's no appearances. And Peter's response? Verse 5, but they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens came into being, and the earth was formed out of water and by water. By these waters also, the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. Peter's point is that things haven't always continued the way they are. God created the world, then judged it and recreated it with a flood. And notice that the scoffers deliberately forget that. They leave God out of history and science on purpose. And notice the emphasis on God's word. In verse 7, by the same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and destruction of the ungodly. But what about the delay? If God was going to judge the wickedness of mankind, why hasn't he done it already? There have been plenty of times that the world seemed ripe for judgment, and yet God withheld his righteous anger. Why? Well, verse 8 gives us the beautiful truth. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. The Lord isn't forgetful or unfair or evil because he hasn't judged the world yet. Instead, he is showing patience and love by waiting. The reason why Jesus hasn't returned yet is that he is waiting for everyone who will repent to do so. He's waiting until every last one of the saints turns to him. He doesn't want any to perish, and so he's waiting for that last person. It's like in almost every action movie, you got somebody that's holding open a door to let the last person into safety before slamming the door on some monster, dinosaur, alien, or raging inferno that is coming. Jesus is standing at the door, waiting for us to come in. He's calling for us to come, and he will wait for everyone who wishes to come. But one day, that door will close. Verse 10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything done in it will be laid bare. The world will be judged for its wickedness. In the days of Noah, water covered the earth, but in the last judgment, fire will lay waste. Verse 11, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. Since this world will be judged, and all that is in it laid waste, we should live our lives sold out to Jesus Christ. What we know should affect how we live. Peter says we must live a life of holiness and godliness. Jesus is coming, and we must be ready for his coming. In Matthew 24, Jesus tells a parable about a servant who becomes lazy while his master is away. Since the master is gone for a long time, the servant goes out partying, getting drunk and insolent. Jesus says that when the master returns, he will have that servant cast out. But the faithful servants, those who are found faithful on the day the master shows up, will be entrusted with the riches of the master. Back in 2 Peter, verse 14. So then, dear friends, since you are looking forward to this, make every effort to be found spotless, blameless, and at peace with him. If we really have our hearts focused on the coming kingdom and the glory of Christ's return, it will change the way we live. We will strive to walk with God and our fellow believers in a godly way. Now, too often we forget the coming of Jesus and focus only on the world around us. But when we do that, we lose sight of how we should live on this earth. C.S. Lewis put it this way. If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought most of the next. The apostles themselves, who set on foot the conversion of the Roman Empire, the great men who built up the Middle Ages, the English evangelicals who abolished the slave trade, all left their mark on earth, precisely because their minds were occupied with heaven. It is since Christians have largely ceased to think of the other world that they have become so ineffective in this. So keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, and you will see mighty works done here on earth, through you. And we come here to the last words the Apostle Peter left us. Verse 17, Therefore, dear friends, since you have been forewarned, be on your guard so that you may not be carried away by the error of the lawless and fall from your secure position. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Be on guard, watch out, and grow in the Lord. A fitting conclusion to Peter's letters, and a fitting conclusion to our time together in 2 Peter. Thanks for listening with us, and we'll see you next time on Through the Word.
Thanks for joining us for today's audio guide. You can find this chapter and hundreds more on the Through the Word app and website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.